And welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN as we pick eight area high school football games for you. It's the regular crew, Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks, along with you here for week number five. I want to thank Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for bringing you the program each and every week. We will be back to let you know how we did last week after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome back here to Who's Gonna Win as we take a look back at our last week, week number four of action. And it turned out to be an okay week for Jim, but that was about it. Everybody else didn't do so hot last week. So he has mustered himself right up into the top spot here with his 6-2 record last week. And he is at 21-11 to lead the pack. Doug went 4-4 last week, so he's now at 20-12. They're in second place. And then Matt went 4-4. He's at 19-13. I went 3-5 for the second straight week, which is not very good, obviously. And I'm 19-13 as well. So that's a look at the overall standings here for you. Let's take a look at the individual games that we picked. The first one was an 8-man District 7 contest as Fremont Mills played host to Sydney. The Knights tried to rally late, but it wasn't enough as Sydney gets the win, 45-35, the final there. That was a winner for Doug and for Jim. My Mills County inside information let me down. Riverside was a 41-7 winner over Nottoway Valley on the road. That was a winner for everybody but Doug. He went out on a limb there, and that came crashing down. Southwest Valley was a 48-0 winner over Grizzled. That was our broadcast game, and the Timberwolves were all of our picks as well, so we got that one correct. HSTW was a shutout winner over ACGC on the road, 36-0. We all had that one right. And a really good game between IKM Manning and Logan Magnolia. The Wolves end up getting the late score to win it, 36-32, the final there. That was a nice limb pick there for Jim as he got that one.
Really,
the rest of us had Logan Magnolia.
Really good game.
He really liked that one.
I did.
He liked the next one, too, because Denison Schleswig was a 35-14 winner on the road over Creston Orient Maxburg. I think we all thought that maybe was a possibility, but I don't think we thought the score would be the way it was, and that was a limb pick for Jim. He got that one correct.
I'll be honest, that was a dart thrown at the wall. That's all that was.
So picks up another one there on us. And then it was Harlan, a 17-14 winner over Glenwood. The Rams tried to rally a couple of times late, but didn't have enough, as they just can't seem to get themselves going before the fourth quarter. Harlan picks up the win, and it was the 400th career win as well for Kurt Blatt there in Harlan. That was a winner for Doug and for Matt, and Jim and myself were incorrect there with the Rams. And then also we all had Atlantic at home against Winterset, and Winterset wins it 20-0 there, so we all took the loss on that one. So that's how week number four went. Let's move on to week number five, and I'm hoping that it turns out a little bit better here for myself especially. But we've got an eight-man game to start it off again, just one eight-man game again here on the sheet, and it's the same district, District 7, as the Cam Cougars coming off a tough loss on the or at home against East Mills last week. They end up coming up short by a point. Now they go on the road to take on who is the district leader now in the Sydney Cowboys, and Jim will make you take first crack here at this one with our lead picker from last week.
All right. Well, unfortunately, injuries start to catch up a little bit with Cam.
With Mitchell Williamson banging up that knee, that's a tough loss, both sides of the football, offense and defense. I just think Sydney has too much offense, and it's tough for teams to make that trip down there to Sydney. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys at home.
All right. That's one for the home team. Matt.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well. Cam's still been putting up some big numbers. They lead their district in total offense. But Sydney has been impressive over the last couple of weeks with the wins over Exira, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, and Fremont Mills. Fremont Mills' game being on the road last week. Quarterback Whitehead, you know, he's completing 68% of his passes, 11 touchdowns. So, yeah, I think Sydney's kind of on a roll right now.
All right, that's two there for Sydney. Yeah, I'll make it three. That's a tough loss for Cam with Mitchell Williamson, just because he's such a tough kid, you know, a guy that they can plug in and do a lot of things for him on both sides of the ball. And this is a bad matchup, I think, for Cam, because Sydney has a pretty good size advantage up front. They've got some good linemen, and that's definitely not Cam's strength here this year. They're going to have to try to beat you with speed. So I'm going to give the home team here an edge. I'm going to go with Sydney. Doug.
Well, I'm going to take the Cowboys as well. You know, Cam has still has quite a few weapons, even with some of the injuries. You know, Thomas Hensley's leading the state in touchdowns, according to the paper earlier this week. So they definitely can put the ball into the end zone. But Sydney's pretty tough. I'm going to take them at home.
All right. So that's Cowboys across the board here in our first contest. Let's move on here to a Class A District 7 contest, as the Griswold Tigers will get to stay home here this week, and they'll welcome in the Nottoway Valley Wolverines. This could be an interesting matchup. Matt?
Well, you got Nottoway Valley coming in, still looking for the first win of the season. And Griswold, who does have one win on the year, and they continue to put up big numbers, even with a 1-3 record. I think Nottoway Valley is definitely outmatched in this one, so I'm going to go with Griswold. And just side note, this is Griswold's last home game because of their forfeits last year. They had, you know, if they were on the road, they have to go to those places and make it up. So, yeah, this is their last home game.
All right, yeah, so I guess some extra motivation there for the Tigers. And I'm going to take the Tigers as well. I got to see them last week against Southwest Valley. You know, they seem like they're that team that's kind of on the edge. They can do some things right. They just can never put it all together to get something going. They had a huge drive at the end of the first half that they didn't get in the end zone with, ran out of time. They did the same thing to open up the second half and then turn the ball over. It's just kind of one of those things. They just can't get over the hump and get things accomplished once it's finishing off a drive. They played without Spencer Mulbauer last week as well, which is huge for them defensively because he does a lot. I think he'll probably be back. It was an ankle injury. I don't know how serious it was, but either way, I still think they have the advantage here, so I'm going to go with Griswold at home. Doug.
Yeah, Nottoway Valley's been really struggling offensively, averaging about 7 points a game, giving up about 50 points a game, so it's kind of a bad combination, and I think the Tigers are going to take it to them this week.
All right, that's three for Griswold. Jim?
Yeah, pretty much what everybody else said. Nottoway Valley just hasn't shown any signs of offense this year. They've just struggled to even move the football up and down, let alone get in the end zone. And Griswold's ground game will just wear them down.
All right, that's Tigers across the board. So we've got a couple of clean sweeps here in our first couple of picks. We will take a break and come back and talk some 1A football for you. This is Who's Going to Win on KJAN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we head into Class 1A District 7 now here for you. We've got actually three games out of this district on our sheet here this week. And we'll start off here with ACGC on the road at Tri-Center. And I guess I get to first look here at this one. This is a pretty tough one, I think, to try to figure out. Both teams at 1-3 on the season. You've got both teams kind of struggling to find the right amount of mix and offense there. They've been able to hang around in a couple of games. You know, Tri-Center's loss, I think, to Riverside is a bit of a head-scratcher early on in the season, something we didn't expect. ACGC knew they were going to have a tough time trying to pick up wins throughout the season as well. I don't know. You look at the comparable scores, and it's, you know, pretty much the same. They're very similar as far as when they played some tough teams, especially AHSTW. But I guess what I've seen as the scores have moved along through the night, ACGC has been able to hang around a little bit longer in a few games so far this year, and I think that's going to give them a bit of an edge. I think Kingery and Brinks are going to do just enough on the ground, so I'm going to take the Chargers here in a tight one. Doug.
Well, we're going to break it up a little bit. We're not going to be all the same like the first two games. I just think Trice Center, looking at the stats, maybe has been able to generate a little bit more offense. You know, ACGC really struggled to do anything last week in their game. So I'm going to take the home team. If they were playing at ACGC, I might take them, but I'm going to take the Trojans.
All right, so we split it up there so far. Jim, what do you think?
I'm with Doug. I'm taking the Trojans at home. I just think Ben Sorensen's a difference. I mean, when I looked at, you know, what makes these teams go, Sorensen, I mean, he's solid on the ground. He's their leading tackler. He does a lot of things for him. He's tough. He's got a lot of experience behind him, too. I just think he'll be the difference in the game. I like Tri-Center.
All right, that's two for Tri-Center. Matt?
I'm going to leave you out there, Chris, on your own. I'm going to go with the Tri-Center Trojans at home this week. I think they've been able to put a few more yards, especially on the ground, and do things. So they do have some similar schedules, so I'm going to go with the Trojans.
All right, so that's three there for Tri-Center, leaving me out on a limb with ACGC. We'll continue to stay in 1A District 7 here as Missouri Valley goes on the road to take on IKM Manning. Doug, you get first look here at this one.
Well, this will be a fun game to watch tonight. Both teams have 3-1 records. You know, Mo Valley started out 3-0 and then lost last week to Trainer in a close game. But you know, I had heard through the grapevine from my office that maybe IKM was going to be a little wet behind the ears this year and maybe not be doing quite as well. But they seem to have proven my birdie wrong about that. And, you know, I was impressed with the victory last week against Loma. You know, they've got a couple of tough runners rushing the ball with Grimm and Earlmeyer. You know, Mo Valley's got Skeeter and Nathan Haynes, though, you know, so you got that combination too. But I like the Wolves at home.
All right, that's one for IKM Manning. Jim.
Yeah, both of these teams had pivotal games last week. IKM Manning won theirs, and Missouri Valley lost theirs to Trainer. Really kind of a surprise. You know, I think it just boils down to turnovers. IKM Manning has thrown 4 interceptions this year. 3 of them happened in their 1 loss. So I guess bottom line is, I think at home, if IKM Manning doesn't turn the ball over, I think they have a pretty good chance to win the ball game. So I'm going with the Wolves.
All right, that's two for the Wolves. Matt.
Okay. I think at this point in the season, you've got the two top offenses in this district coming in tonight. But kind of like you guys have already mentioned, you know, pivotal games last week. I think IKM propels off of this. IKM Manning propels off of this. I like their two running backs back there. And I think IKM Manning's had a fairly decent schedule up to this point that Mo Valley hasn't seen yet. So with that, I'm going to go with the home team as well, IKM Manning.
All right, another one for the Wolves. I am going to make it a clean sweep. Same thoughts. I think that their competition has been pretty tough here so far. They've had a pretty tough road so far here for the Wolves, and they've been able to get it done here for the most part. I think that young defense has been pretty impressive. They've kind of always prided themselves on being good on that side of the ball, and they're continuing to do it here. And to win a tough game like that, you know, against Logan Magnolia last week, that has to give you a bunch of confidence. So I'm going to go with the Wolves here in this one as well. We'll stay there in 1A7 again as the team that surprised Missouri Valley last week, Trainer, goes on the road to take on AHSTW. This will be our broadcast game here tonight on the radio. And, Jim, you get first look here.
It's a pretty fun district, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you got AHSTW is probably the class of that district, and you've got IKM Manning, Logan Magnolia, Missouri Valley, all probably playoff-worthy teams, but they're not all going to get there. And even Tri-Center, you know, and Trainer. I mean, they jump up at a time. I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have 3 games every week off that district here on our sheet. That the matchups are that compelling. But congratulations to Trainer last week and condolences this week. I like AHSTW at home. Trainer had that nice upset win, but AHSTW, Alphabet Soup over there in Avoca, they're just too solid. I mean, they're just playing some really solid football right now. I just think they have too many weapons, and their size is pretty good. I like them at home.
All right, that's one for the Vikings. Matt.
Hey, each week's just going to keep getting tougher here for HSTW starting this week, but I like HSTW's defense. You know, that's the thing. They always seem to have a pretty solid defense, and so I think they continue that trend.
All right, that's another one there for the Vikings, and I'm going to go with the home team here as well. I definitely was surprised and a bit impressed with Trainer's win last week over Missouri Valley. It's not one I would have called that way, but for AHSTW, they do have kind of, you know, talented athletes at the right spots, I think. R.J. Harris is a really talented athlete at that quarterback spot. Gabe Pauly's been doing some pretty good things on the ground for them. He's averaging over 8 yards a carry. Yeah, the only thing I wrote down that against them is, you know, they're a little bit untested. The way that their schedule shaped up here so far, they just haven't played that tough opponent yet. And maybe this is a little bit more of a challenge for them here tonight if Trainer continues in an upward trend like they have been. But I still like the Vikings here at home. Doug.
Well, I got to agree with you fellows. They've, as Matt mentioned, their defense has been lights out, three straight shutouts last three games. So I don't see any reason to buck any trends. I'm not going out on them.
Okay. We're going to stick with the Vikings across the board on that one.
You know what, though? I'll be shocked. Well, I'll be surprised if Trainer would pull off an upset tonight, but I won't be shocked because those two teams over the years have played some really good football games against each other and have upset each other at different times when it really hurt. So.
Yeah, it could be a fun game. We hope it is. We'll have it here on air for you tonight. We'll stay here, we'll move to Class 2A, and all these games actually are out of District 7, whatever class we're talking about, but it's 2A District 7 now, as we've got Red Oak going on the road to take on Shenandoah, and it's kind of one of those who can figure something out here this week, Matt.
Well, I think Shenandoah's looking forward to this game. They've had a tough schedule. Combined record of the teams they've played is 14-2. The only team that has a loss is they've played Atlantic. Atlantic sits at 2-2. The other teams they played are all still undefeated after 4 weeks. And you got a Red Oak team that's struggling to do quite a bit of anything, only able to muster up 3 points last week. Obviously we've seen Shenandoah. They still, even though, you know, in their losses, they're still able to put up some big numbers. Offensively, they just stay true to themselves, what they're going to do. They don't play outside of their ability. So with that being said, I think Shenandoah comes out on top.
All right, that's one there for the Mustangs. And, yeah, both teams looking for their first victory here. You alluded to, you look at the offensive production, it just hasn't been there for Red Oak at all. And their, you know, schedule, you know, there may be a couple of teams in there that are, you know, a little bit more challenging, but not as tough as Shenandoah's had to play here so far. And, you know, Red Oak had an opportunity there last week, but couldn't get it done late in the game with a short yardage situation against Southeast Valley, and they came up on the wrong end. And I think Shenandoah does have some nice things. Mason Silence, pretty good running back, so I'm going to go with the Mustangs too. Doug.
Yeah, Shenandoah, they just have been able to put up a few more points. Red Oak's only, as you mentioned, has only scored two touchdowns all year, so 16 total points. So they're really struggling to find the end zone. Shenandoah's got, as you mentioned, Chris, Mason Silence, and then also Kyle Owens is a nice running back for him too. So I like their ability to pound the ball on the ground, and they will win.
All right, that's three for the Mustangs. Jim?
Yeah, pretty much what everybody else said. Shenandoah scored more points against a very good AHSTW team than Red Oak has against everybody they've played. So, yeah, I like Shenandoah at home.
All right, clean sweep again there across the board. We've got a couple of games left here as we'll move to Class 3A. We'll come back and talk about those after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look at our final two picks here on the sheet. We've got Class 3A District 7 here for you in both of these last two games. And the first one is Glenwood going on the road to take on Denison Schleswig. And I guess I get first look here at this one as much as I maybe don't want to. Denison Schleswig, impressive last week, going on the road to Creston and winning the way that they did. You know, not surprised that they won, but the way that they were able to kind of put the game away, and they were up early in that game. So pretty impressive there. Glenwood, if they can figure out how to get something going before the fourth quarter, they're going to be a really good team. But they just haven't been able to do that on offense, and it's been tough sledding for them so far. These two teams do have a common opponent in Thomas Jefferson. Glenwood was able to beat them. Denison Schleswig came up short against them. So that does give me a little bit more hope there. But Denison Schleswig's got a lot of confidence, too, at home. But I still am going to stick with the Rams. I think that this is one that they know now that they absolutely need to get done if they still want to have a chance to contend here at the top of the district. So good motivation for them. They've had 9 takeaways on defense, too, and I think that's going to help them go with the Rams. Doug.
Yeah, I mean, Glenwood has just really points have been a premium for them. They just are not scoring the ball a whole lot. You know, if the other teams are able to shut down Andrew Bloom, it seems like they're having a tough time getting in the end zone. I can't believe I'm going to pick Denison. If you'd told me before the year, I would say there's no way. You know, I've seen them play. Now, granted, I haven't seen Glenwood play. But, Denison has been doing some nice things. I think last week they had some good production out of their quarterback. They had a field goal. They had a return for a touchdown last week. So, I think they have various ways to score the ball, and their defense has been pretty effective. So I'm going to take the home team. I'm going to take the Monarchs.
All right. That's one either way here so far. Jim.
I'm going with Glenwood. Glenwood's played 3 close games in a row, and that doesn't faze them very much. I honestly don't know that this game's going to be all that close tonight. I don't think Denison will move the ball very well against their defense. And I think Glenwood will just continue to do what they do on offense and then just start moving away early in the ballgame. I don't like Glenwood here on the road.
All right, that's 2 for the Rams. Matt?
Yeah, this is interesting. I think what you've got with Denison is that kind of what Doug's alluded to there is they've found other ways to be productive. If it's kickoff return or just having good kickoffs that have set up short field. Their defense has created a lot of different scenarios for them with turnovers and short field situations as well. So, if you look at them on paper, you don't see the offensive numbers. Well, that's because of these other components of the game. Glenwood, yeah, they've just kind of really haven't got things going for them. So, it's a tough game to call. Had an opportunity to watch just a little bit of Denison with Creston. Their defense is just swarming, and we saw that a few weeks ago with Atlantic. Glenwood seems to, when the back's against the wall, they seem to be able to pull it out and get it done. But I don't know if it's going to happen with this Denison team. I'm going to go out there with Doug, and I might be crazy, but I'm going to go with Denison Schleswig.
You mean that lovingly.
Yes,
right?
I do. I think we're crazy, but, is Denison Schleswig about a year ahead of where they think they're going to be? I think they're looking, next year, this was going to be a building, we're going to get some momentum, and next year, the next couple of years, we're going to have some decent teams, but they might be just a titch ahead of it. And so,
all right.
I think their home field advantage is big for them.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah, we split it up there, so it could be it's going to be an interesting one to watch, that's for sure, here in this district. There's a lot of games in this district. I could have put 3 on the sheet again this week to make it fun. But the next one we'll look at here is Atlantic getting to stay home here against Creston Orient Maxburg this week. Both teams coming off tough weeks last week. So who gets to turn it around? Doug.
Well, yeah, Creston, they're sitting at 1-3. right, this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, this season, which you wouldn't have thought before the season started. You know, Atlantic game last week was kind of tough. They caused some of those problems themselves, you know, for various reasons. You know, again, trying to get that offense going. You know, it seemed like the quick poppers up the middle were generating some yards, but weren't able to take advantage of the speed that they have. You know, and there's certainly been some injuries, and we're moving some kids around. I did like how the defense responded. They had, you know, Winterset scored a couple touchdowns right away, and then it seemed like they really clamped down, you know, through the second quarter and third quarter and into the fourth. So, you know, I think Atlantic probably views this game now in a different light, obviously, than they did before the season started. And, you know, hopefully they can generate some points. And I'm going to take the Trojans for homecoming.
All right. Homecoming win for the Trojans, says Doug. Jim, do you agree?
I don't think so. I don't think so this week. As much as I want to, I'm just Atlantic's going to struggle with size differences with some of these teams, and I think this is one of those. Creston's got some pretty good size up there in the front line, and we just don't. And I'm just afraid that that's going to be the downfall here in this one, is that size difference at the line of scrimmage is just going to be the factor there. So I'm going to go with Creston here in this one.
All right, that's one either way. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, Creston, you know, who would have thought that at this point in the season they would be 1-3 and Atlantic at 2-2. But you know, a couple of different schedules in there as well contribute to that. But like you said, Jim, Creston's got those couple, two or three guys, especially on defense, up the middle that just create a lot of problem. And that's where Dennison kind of did struggle getting up the middle. But once they kind of got around the edges, you know, they had some success in there. So that'll be Atlantic's things, you know, is utilize what is there on your field and get around the edge, you know, because the middle's not going to be there. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, figuring out those ways to get out there and get those one-on-one matchups is going to be a huge part of the success. Offensively, Creston's really relied, I think, a lot more on Smallwood than I think what they thought maybe coming into the season. And kind of like Doug's alluded to, you know, in some of our conversations, you know, with Schultz not being back there, mm-hmm. kind of is a big factor. So. Mm-hmm. With that, it's been since 2008 since Atlantic's beaten Creston. That's quite a while. They're still looking for that first district win, homecoming this week. I'm going to go with Atlantic. Mild upset, I guess, if you will.
All right.
Maybe.
That's a couple there for the Trojans. Yeah, you know, the one thing I wrote down for Creston is it's a reeling team. They're backpedaling fast, you know, the obviously the distractions, things that came along with it, but then, you know, Harlan really laid a lick on him, kind of maybe knocked him down a peg, and then last week I'm sure they thought they were going to go home and get healthy, and Dennison Schleswig didn't allow that to happen. And yeah, maybe this Creston team is a lot different than we anticipated here when the season started. You know, Atlantic too, on the other side, though, this is such a hard game to call because neither team really has a lot of momentum to carry them into the next game. You know, Atlantic just no offense recently, which is a little bit puzzling to me. I thought they'd have some more success on that side of the ball, especially as Matt alluded to, getting the ball to some of those guys on the edge. I think that's where they have the advantage. They have some guys that have some speed. Obviously, you need to be able to run the football too, and they haven't been able to do that, and that's been their downfall. And then, of course, turning the ball over. You can't do that in order to have success, and they're going to need to take care of it to win this game. I guess I'm going to say the same thing that Doug said on the last pick. Before the season started, I would have called myself insane to pick this game, but I'm going to take Atlantic. I just think that Creston has fallen so far backwards that, you know, it's going in the wrong direction for them, and Atlantic, with that speed on the edge, can hopefully get the ball to those guys and be able to get a win. And they're motivated to get that district win. It's, you know, you wait that long, you still have some motivation there. So we'll see what happens. That's going to be Jim out on a limb there with Creston in that contest. So that's a look at our picks here in week number 5. Stay with us. We'll be having some football for you in class 1A District 7 as AHSTW plays host to Trainer. Mike Smith will be joining me here for the broadcast shortly. We'll get your pregame going and kick off at 7 o'clock for that game here tonight. For the guys, Doug Leonard, Jim Field, Matt Mullinex, I'm Chris Parks. Thanks to Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union. That's who's going to win here in week 5 on KJAN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.